wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Decisions at the Straight Gate. My Bible text is seasoned by 2,000 years, yet it is the message of heaven for us today. Hear then these words. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Who could give the complete picture of men in such few words? Only one. He was Jesus of Nazareth, the lowly carpenter of that despised village. Whence had he such knowledge of men? Where did he get such wisdom? Who gave him authority to tell all men what to do? These questions are answered when we discover who he is. He is the wisdom and the power of God. He is the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. He is the Lord and Savior of men. In these 50 words, he told us of two gates, of two roads, of two companies, and of two destinies. There are but two, not three. There is no middle path. There are two and not one. For men live lives as different as day and night, and they are bound for two abodes as separated as heaven and hellfire. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only saw the choices that people make at those two gates and the lives they live on those two roads, but he saw the destinies to which each one was steadily pressing. He saw, he knew, and he told us of the end of each road in solemn warning as he pleads with us to enter in at the straight gate. At those gates, people decide their destinies as well as the lives they shall live here on earth. The gate, then, is where each one decides, shall I live for myself and for the thrills of sin and the world and go with the devil to hellfire? Or shall I resign myself and live for God and go with Christ to heaven? Many of you remember when you once stood at those two gates. Now shame and regret trouble you as you remember the wrong choice you made. You have found the paths of sin bitter and the service of the devil hard. And now, as you near the end of the road and the awful eternity of the ungodly faces you, you feel instinctively that you are nearing the falls where you shall go over into a lost eternity. For God has said it and he means it. The wicked shall be turned into hell. How solemn. Now, neighbor, don't bemoan your once foolish choice, but do something about it now. You can. Hear the pleadings of your Maker. I live, saith the Lord God. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? You can turn back in real repentance, and even now you can enter into the straight gate. Others of you are but ewes. As you stand before those two gates, the devil bids strong for you. His gate is wide, for he condemns nothing as sin. He allows everything as just self-expression. He promises you passionate thrills and great popularity as he, with a desperate zeal, seeks to ensnare you young folks and get you on his side. I take my stand to persuade you, both young and old, to enter in at the straight gate. Our Lord, after speaking those 50 words, told us that the man who heard him, but did not do them, was the foolish man. But the wise man was he who did them. His word must be obeyed. If you inquire how you can enter in, I will help you. My language will be symbolical. First, you must enter in on your knees. The gate is narrow and not high, so you must bend low, for God's truth is hid from the wise and revealed unto babes. Neighbor, get on your knees in confessed helplessness and as one guilty before God. Second, you must enter in with all your heart, like the jailer who cried, "What must I do to be saved?" like the little man Zacchaeus who ran ahead and climbed the tree to see Jesus, and like the dying thief who cried, Lord, remember me. Neighbor, get in earnest. Give yourself wholly to this matter, for to enter in at the straight gate, you must enter in with all your heart. Third, to enter in, you must open your mouth. You cannot be tongue-tied. You must tell the truth and plead guilty to your sin, like the returning prodigal who cried, Father, I have sinned. And like the convicted publican who cried, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Yes, with your mouth you must confess your surrender to Jesus as your Lord. You're not a dumb beast, but you're a man with a mouth. And to enter at that straight gate, you must speak up. The woman at Jesus' feet told him all the truth, and so must you. Fourth, you must enter in with a fixed eye, looking to Christ alone for salvation, as he said, Look unto me and be saved. You cannot be like Lot's wife, who looked longingly after the world. Turn your eyes and your desires from all else. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him you want him as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be his forever. Fifth, you must enter in with a determined purpose of going all the way with Christ, willing to bear his name and to suffer for his sake. The question is, wilt thou go with this man? And ere you enter the straight gate, you must decide, I will go, and be willing to take up your cross and follow him, to live with him and willing to die for him. Six, you must enter in with a tearful eye. Smiles and laughter may be on the faces of those who answer the preacher's altar call, but only those whose eyes are tearful enter in at the straight gate. Tears of shame over your sins and tears of joy over God's grace, just like the sinful harlot who wept at Jesus' feet and heard him say, Thy sins are forgiven, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace, as she entered in at the straight gate. But what is it that hinders people so that there's so few who enter in? Truly a big question. Come with me, and we will stand by the straight gate and watch. Up comes a man. On his shoulder is the world, as he clutches it dearly to himself, for he loves the world. He applies to enter in at the straight gate, but is told, You may enter in, but the gate is narrow. You cannot bring the world in with you. Cast it down, and you may enter. But he's indignant and turns away, still clinging to the world. Religions, churches, and preachers may make no issue of this and even endorse the world with its dances, shows, cards, and whatnots. Or they may tell people, come on and enter in, and you can decide that later and do whatever you think best. But God's word says, Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And it adds, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And since that world crucified our Lord, the word says, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Neighbor, at that straight gate, you must decide, Christ or the world, you cannot have both. I plead with you to renounce the world and enter in at the straight gate. And now a woman appears at the straight gate. She's clinging to something hidden in her bosom. The keeper at the gate looks her through, for nothing escapes his eye. And he says, You may enter in, but you must first resign that thing in your bosom, your hidden sin. That love liquor, that coveted money, that sex lust. Hidden in the heart and not forsaken. Oh, how many love their sin and want to continue in it. Though a helpless slave to sin, you must come to the Lord Jesus, wanting him to deliver you, so that like the adulterous woman whom he rescued, you will go and sin no more. At the straight gate, we face not only the world question, but also the sin question. For our Savior's name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now we see approaching that straight gate a man, lofty, conceited are his bearings. His head is so high, he can scarcely see the gate. He is spotted at once and told that he may enter, but he must come along with the criminals, the drunkards, the harlots, the covetous, and all such. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. With a toss of his proud head
and a glare of his defiant eyes, he turns and leaves. Yes, pride has kept millions from entering in the straight gate. Pride has sent a multitude down to hellfire. It has done more to fill the pit of destruction than anything else. You don't need to be a harlot or a thief to go to hellfire. Just go on in your self-righteous pride and refuse to repent, and you are hell-bound as sure as the Bible is God's word. You must repent or perish. And now another approaches the gate. She sees so few on that narrow way, while the big crowd turns in at the straight gate. So in she goes too. She doesn't want to be ostracized. She wants to be popular. Neighbor, if you are afraid to stand alone and want to be with a popular crowd, then the devil will get you. The Lord's little flock is heaven bound, but they are the few, and they are persecuted for Christ's sake. And now by the straight gate we see a lad and his sister. They make no move, so we speak to them. Young folks, why don't you enter in at yonder gate? Do you not know that is the way of life and salvation? They answer, we do know that, for we were brought up at a family altar. We do not go to the dance or the show. We keep away from that wide gate. We intend to enter the straight gate, for we know it is the only way to heaven. We will enter in later on. My heart aches as I see so many like these two. They are not wild or rowdy. They know the way of salvation. They feel kindly toward Christ, and they read the Bible. But standing there, even though so near the kingdom, yet they shall be doomed and damned, for that door will shut, and they, with all others who have not entered in, shall be shut out forever, to wail in hopeless agony. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. To you outside that straight gate I now lift my voice, ere that gate closes forever. I appeal to you in the words of my Lord. Enter in at the straight gate, today, now. Break loose from this world. Confess and forsake that secret sin. Cast away your self-righteous pride. Turn from the world's popularity and linger no longer. Take action and enter in at the straight gate. It is the gate of decision. At that gate, you will make the most important decision of your life. It will mold your life here and will seal your destiny for all eternity. Forsake then all else and turn to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, and thus you will enter in at the straight gate. And as our blessed Lord Jesus ended his earthly ministry, he foretold these last days in which we live, and he intensified his ministry by saying, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And that word is agonize, to enter in at the straight gate. This signifies that it will not be easy, but very difficult, and it will take deep earnestness. Neighbors, stop all else and give yourself to this one emergency, and do not rest until you have entered in. Standing near the gate will not do. For our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Rest not until you can say, I have come to Christ and have entered in at the straight gate, and he has saved me. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.